Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Zurian Show. And as always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and of course, good spirits. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we are having the pleasure to have on a very powerful and dynamic young lady, Mema Carmo. Is that how you say it?
Mema Carmo, yes.
Mema Carmo. Okay, I said that part right.
Yes.
I hate to mess up people's names, but with a name like Zurian, minds get destroyed. It really does. Anyway, Mema, ladies and gentlemen, is a very dynamic young lady, a person that, for the most part, has taken the bull by the horns in everything that she's confronted, from even when she was a young child to present. And she's still a young lady that is taking no prisoners and taking no names. She's out there making a path for not only herself, but also leaving a legacy for her daughter and for other young women and powerful people out there that want to do great and phenomenal things, even though people may have told you that it's a fight you can't win. She's definitely a standing example of somebody that's going to win despite what anybody else says, who's going to win because her heart, her soul, and her spirit tells her that she's going to win. So as the president and CEO of the Tiger Foundation and also the publisher of Bliss Magazine and the author of a book that tells her life story and just an amazing person with a whole lot of things, plus, of course, the president, of course, Capable Words. Again, there's just so many accolades that this young lady has amassed that for me to discuss them is definitely taking away from it. So without any more said, how are you today, Mema?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, thanks.
And thanks for that wonderful introduction as well.
Well, you know, I have to work. I don't have to work very hard when I have somebody that has your strength, your spirit, your energy, and, of course, your accomplishments. It's a testament.
Well, thank you.
So could you tell us a little bit about you, and then let's talk about some of the projects and things that you're doing and what you'd like to share with everyone today.
I'm not sure where to start, but I guess I'll start at the beginning. I'm from Liberia, West Africa, where I was born and raised, and my parents and I fled the country twice, and then the last time, three times in total, fleeing from a coup d'etat. And so that's how I came to live in the U.S. when I was 15 years old. And my parents really instilled in me the importance of, you know, dreaming and accomplishing the things that you dream about, and that you don't have to always have practical, what's defined as practical dreams, but kind of dream the impossible. You know, we had a very comfortable life back home, but they always raised us to know that, like, things could change any minute. And so when the war happened and we ended up being in the U.S. as refugees, it was a tough time, but, you know, we knew we had to just kind of, you know, look at plan B. My father always said, you know, think about plan B and C. So we just began, you know, implementing plan B, and I went to work and finished school and pursued the American dream. And, you know, my life kind of, I defined, there are two moments in my life that I defined myself by that were very, you know, critical. One was me, you know, having my daughter, who's my best friend, and the other was getting breast cancer. And the breast cancer journey really changed my life in a huge way because, you know, I've been kind of pursuing the American dream, which was a dream that I thought was a practical dream. You know, you attain the house and the job and the man and the, you know, 2.5 kids and white picket fence kind of thing. But when I got to where I thought life was comfortable, after, you know, growing up in a very unstable environment with the wars and relocating to the U.S., then I got diagnosed with breast cancer, and it truly turned my life upside down. But that's when I began to ask the questions about you know, what my life purpose was and what I really wanted to do. And if I could create something that was the impossible dream, what would that look like? And that's what's led me to, you know, the point where I am now, which is a life that I never really even dreamed I could have. Which, you know, wonderful, busy, crazy, but, you know, always feeling alive and living with purpose.
That's outstanding. I mean, the fact that you were able to overcome all of those hurdles, but it also sounds like you had a very strong family background and unity. So I know that that was one of the major fuels for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's really important to have a strong family structure because you don't really understand the importance of having people around you that believe in you and support you. And so you end up, I mean, like now I look back and I think of all the things that I've created, and my parents were certainly very pivotal, but, you know, I had aunts and uncles and extended family that all played a role in my development. And it takes a community to raise a child, and everywhere I turned, there was support. And so, you know, when I ended up coming here with nothing, there was never, you know, you can't do this or it's so hard. There was always, okay, what's next? What do we do next? What's going to happen? We're a team. Let's, you know, we just kind of, you know, that one time there were about 10 of us living in an apartment with 2 bedrooms, and my bed was a couch when I was 15 for a number of years. But there was no whining about, you know, not having my own room or privacy. It just, we were lucky to be alive. So everyone got jobs, and we all paid bills, and we ended up working and going to school and just kind of creating a new life in the U.S. And, you know, when I got to the point where I was much older and stable and I ended up getting breast cancer, that was when I had my first YB moment. But after 2 months of wondering why and, you know, what was going to happen to me and not wanting to die and leave my daughter without a mom and, you know, how would I create my legacy, you know, asking those questions, I, you know, prayed to God and asked him how I could use my life of service to others. And the answer was, you know, my organization, which is called Tiger Lily Foundation. And that set me on a course that I had no idea that I would be on 7.5 years later. And, you know, now our mission is to help women and girls under 40 living with breast cancer. So when I got diagnosed, I was 32 years old, and no one in my family had any kind of cancer. I didn't understand what was happening because I exercise, ate healthy. It was totally out of my scope of reference in terms of my reality. But there I was, and they were saying I had cancer. And so it took me almost it took a while for them to give me a diagnosis because they kept saying I was too young to have breast cancer. And I had a mammogram and came back clean. I had an aspiration. The lump wasn't aspirating, but my doctor insisted it wasn't cancer. I had to push for a biopsy, after which time I did get diagnosed. And then I saw a lot of disparities that women under 40 face when it came to detection, screening, and services and support during and after breast cancer. Because the way it's set up is people think women get breast cancer generally 40 and over, which is the truth. We get it more often over 40, but then when you're diagnosed under 40, there's lack of resources, support, screenings, you know, proper screening to diagnose, you know, young women, and then services to help support you during treatment and in your quality of life after treatment. So I began my foundation with just kind of talking about what challenges I face and helping to create an awareness of the issue that women can and do get breast cancer under 40. And when I began that process, I had no idea I'd be getting calls from hospitals and organizations to speak, and then I began getting referrals by physicians of young women who needed support services, and I wasn't prepared to do any of that, so I had to create something quickly. So I created programs and then, you know, a board and then, you know, events to raise money, and so it just kind of organically grew. And one of the gifts that I received was getting asked to be on the Oprah Winfrey Show, which is literally, you know, they just called, emailed and called, and that happened, and it took the work I was doing to a different platform, different level. And now we're in 40-plus states across the country providing women under 40 with critical support services as they navigate their breast cancer journeys.
Wow, that is very impressive. You know, but it's, again, it shows that fortitude. You were somebody that just stopped pushing and you took your ordeal and used it pretty much as a springboard to help other people that in a lot of cases wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for you sharing that information. So from the Tiger Lily Foundation, which is what you started based on that, you also wrote your book, which basically tells your life story. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. It was really interesting. So I began the foundation, and I began to, you know, to speak, and, you know, people don't really believe this, but I was actually very, very shy. I'm actually a shy person, naturally. But I was being asked to speak, you know, on these, you know, local and national platforms about breast cancer and my experience. And so I began to speak, and then it turned into professional speaking and me having to get coaching and just to learn how to present better. And then I began to ask to be, to, you know, do media as well. And then when I was on Oprah, well, people kept asking me all the time, do you have a book? And I didn't have time to write a book, and I never dreamed that I would be asked by Oprah to have a book. And when she asked me the question, I thought, oh, my God, I should have written a book. So after... I mean, that was one of those things where you want to kick yourself thinking, why didn't I do this, you know? So I ended up writing a book because she kind of said, you know, you should have your story told. It's important to tell. Everybody has their own personal legacy, and it should be documented. So I ended up writing a book, and from the book came people, my reach and people that I could touch and that heard my story. People came out of the woodwork and were sharing their stories with me, and, it just kind of blossomed. And then, you know, I met a lot of people who were going through different challenges, and people would share with me, and I would say, why don't you share your story with the world? Whether it's a magazine article you can share, or, you know, a book or something, or just people need to know what your personal story is, because you have no idea who you could touch by sharing this, your vision. And so I had the idea for a magazine, but at the time, Tiger Lily was growing so fast that I couldn't do both, and I had a young child. I have a child. She's still young, but she was, you know, 3-4 years old, and so I had to kind of balance what I was doing. So the magazine concept was to help people create more joy and live more openly and authentically in their life, and in the magazine list. And so that was probably in 2007 or 8 when I conceived that idea, but I put it on hold to build my organization. And year before last, last year, a close friend of mine ended up committing suicide, and it really impacted my life in a big way. And his sister emailed me a letter that she found on his computer that he'd written to me, and pretty much said that, you know, the way that I lived my life was very impactful for him, and, you know, it showed him what it was like to love and to show up, and, you know, and it just really impressed upon me, like, you never know who you're helping by just being the best you can be, or by doing the thing that somebody else is afraid to do, if you could dare to be and dream. And, you know, I never would imagine this person that I was so close to would take their own life, and that he was living with such sadness. And I would never also have imagined that he would, you know, write me a letter that had such a profound impact on his life. So it really propelled me to launch a magazine to help other people to share and to be open and vulnerable and overcome their fears and to truly live in a more connected way with other people and to just open up and be brave. So I launched a magazine and kind of did a test launch to see how people would kind of respond to it, and I got rave reviews, and we actually did our real, you know, hard launch this summer, and it's growing very rapidly, and we're looking to go into print pretty soon. So it's, my life is really about jumping into my fears, embracing challenges, and having a dream, and just seeing, you know, just kind of testing it out. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't work out, it's okay too. But I never want to live a life where I had a dream and didn't jump into it, didn't explore the possibilities. And that's kind of how I live. I have an idea, and I just kind of run with it.
Well, sincerely, you seem to be running very well, because there's a lot of people out there that have a dream. Now, mind you, there's probably 90% of them never actually act on it, so it's huge that you've acted on it, and are actually moving forward. And, you know, you're helping people. You know, each experience you've had, it seems to have been a great lesson for you. So you have the book that you've written, you have your foundation, you have Bliss Magazine, that's huge. I mean, it's really kudos to you. May I ask, could you please share your contact information with everybody, you know, while we're in the midst?
The website, the URLs for the website. So Tiger Lily is www.tigerlilyfoundation.org. That's my breast cancer nonprofit organization. And my author webpage is my first and last name, Maimah, M-A-I-M-A-H, karmo.com. And Bliss is purebliss.mag.com. And then I also, before I got diagnosed, I used to do consulting with different government contractors. And after the whole, you know, me building my organization and doing, learning how to do PR marketing and build a nonprofit, I've been asked by other groups to help them with their, you know, social media, PR, and so forth. So I have a business called Capable Words, where I help companies to do different things, whether it's marketing, website design, you know, building their nonprofit, their business, kind of taking their dreams and making them come to life. So I have different things that I do, which are all a way I can express myself and my different talents, things that I enjoy doing. So it's a fun life. It's really busy and hectic, but it's just great to be able to express myself in different ways, whether it's business, creative, and still make time to be, you know, to be involved with my daughter's life. I'm very, really close to her. And I dance and I exercise, and I have a great amount of friends that I spend time with as well.
Outstanding. I mean, your daughter's got to look at you as Wonder Woman.
You know, it's funny, when I get tired and I stop, she just knows to leave me alone, because I can go and go and go. And then there's sometimes when I'm like, okay, I need a break, and I just lay there, and she's like, you really sleep? You're tired? Really? But she does think that I'm pretty, you know, like an unstoppable person. And but she's my inspiration. And, you know, when I had her, she inspired me to go after bigger and more. And when I got diagnosed, I knew that whether or not, no matter how long I lived, I wanted to give her an idea of what a woman, a mother, should be like, and what it's like to pursue your dream. Because at the end of the day, you know, when I looked at myself in treatment and thought I may not make it, my primary thought was leaving a legacy for her, and having doubts that I'd done all I could do. If I met God the next month or whatever, would I leave the world knowing I'd done all that I dreamed of, or I'd at least tried? And the answer at that time was no. And the answer, if you ask me that question now, I'm like, no, I'm doing all I can. I'm having the best time. You know, and everything that I experience, sometimes there's challenges and there's losses and lessons, but they're all lessons, and I learn, and then I move forward. But I don't have any regrets about anything, about my business, my family, my love life. I mean, I just kind of jump into life, and whatever happens, happens, and I just, again, you know, I'm in 100%, and then I move forward and keep creating the life that I dream of.
Well, you clearly keep setting that example for the rest of us to aspire to. And ladies and gentlemen, Mima's book is Awakening to My Life's Purpose Through Breast Cancer. Fearless is actually part of the book. So Fearless, Awakening to My Life's Purpose Through Breast Cancer. So you guys ought to get that if you're looking for an inspiring story from a very inspiring young lady. And your daughter is 12, 14 now?
She'll be 12 in December. She's 11 and a half. You know, at this age, the half is a really important, you know, number. You have to say 11 and a half and 12 and a quarter. So she's 11 and a half right now, and she begins sixth grade next week, which is really, to me, it's a huge deal, because, like, I've been pretty much really emotional all day, because, you know, having gone through not just the wars and all that, but going through cancer, and thinking, oh, my God, I would love to be alive just to watch her learn to read and then to write and then to ride a bike and then to go into first grade. And then, and now she's going to middle school. But so then she looks at me and she's like, why are you crying? And I say, I'm not sad. I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude, because something allowed me, the universe allowed me the gift to be here to watch you grow into this little person. So it's beautiful to watch her grow and to be here to be a part of her life and to be her friend and to have her teach me, and I teach her as well.
That is awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, it's you were saying, God, a minute ago, it's amazing how life can turn around if you'll only open your eyes to see what's around the corner. And you clearly turned around and opened your eyes to see what was around the corner. So that's why you're here, why you're blessing all the people that you're blessing, why you're here to be able to see your daughter and raise your daughter and be a shining example to her that is also a shining example to many of us. And kudos on your communication with Oprah. If you get a chance, go ahead and give her my name. I'd appreciate it. But what else would you like to tell us about some of the things that you're doing, maybe upcoming things, you know, your overall goal where you see your foundation going and, you know, your other ventures?
Well, I mean, right now we're in 43 states, and the goal is to be able to become a national, you know, just be around for a long time. And with my book, I'm doing more and more book touring, and it's really exciting, you know, to be able to get out there and speak and help people to open their minds and to learn as well. And with the magazine, at some point, you know, I want to be in print as well, print and be on newsstands and be able to be that people all over the world access it and to learn and be able to open their minds to doing what they dream of. And the cool thing is my daughter, you know, she's 11 now, and, you know, you never know who's watching. People write to me all the time and say, you know, I saw you do this, and now I'm writing my own book, or you left your, you know, your job, and you jumped into this foundation that you didn't have any funding, and you just grew it, and now look where you are. So I want to create my dream. My daughter, you know, I have little girls that watch what she's doing because she's now, you know, having her own events that through the foundation that educate other young girls about the importance of prevention and wellness and breast health, and encourages mothers and daughters to talk about, you know, about health and wellness. And so there are other little girls coming to her events who are learning about breast cancer and prevention early. And so it's just kind of, you know, great to be able to do what you do. And even if it's a challenging thing or it's hard or it seems to be impossible, by you pushing past your own preconceived barriers, you can inspire others to push through theirs as well. And, you know, it's great to see young girls like her, who she's meeting other friends like hers who are young businesswomen or young nonprofit, you know, young philanthropists. And it just, you know, makes the world become better and makes people become more open to, like I said, to dreaming, to loving. There's so many things going on in the world that can make your heart, you know, close up and make you be afraid. But at the end of the day, you know, we're not born afraid, and we can't die with fear. We have to just make sure we jump into life. And so my goal is, with all that I'm doing, is to inspire people to also live their best life and to pursue the things that they, you know, think are impossible.
Very powerful. And everything is possible if you're willing to do the work and get around others that help you to grow and develop. So, again, I thank you for coming on the show and for sharing everything that you shared. And I hope that are listening will take all of the words that you shared with us today and all the actions that you've already made to heart as they move on in their lives. And kudos to you for also getting your daughter involved. That peer thing is a beautiful thing for young people.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we're about to wrap it up, but one more time, could you give everybody your contact information? And
yep, I would love to. Mm-hmm. Okay, my websites are maimahkarmo.com is my author and speaker website, and I can give books for engagements through that webpage, and people can buy books on there as well as on Amazon. My nonprofit organization is www.tigerlilyfoundation.org. And the magazine, Bliss Magazine, can be found at purebliffmag.com.
Outstanding. Your magazine right now, it comes out how regularly?
It comes out quarterly, and it's digital right now. It's online, but we're looking at, it's growing so fast that we're looking at going into print. And so that might be coming, you know, probably early 2015.
Okay. And for your business, Capable Words, what type of businesses and organizations have you been working with?
I work with government contractors, that I help with proposal work and marketing. I work with nonprofit organizations who need help with building, you know, taking their ideas from vision to mission to, you know, developing their programs and, you know, creating their concept of operations and just kind of what their core work's going to be. And I help entrepreneurs to kind of, as you know, as well, people that have ideas for something but don't know how to flesh their ideas out. I consult them on how to go from concept to, you know, programs, mission, and then, you know, build a website and business cards and begin to pursue avenues of business.
Very cool. So you're kind of like their for-hire mastermind.
Yeah. Yeah, people hire me and I sit with them and we just kind of brainstorm about their ideas and I help them to kind of open their minds to being creative and we talk about what they want to do and I offer them suggestions and then we kind of create these concepts and make them come to life.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I mean, it's just, to me, it's amazing how things come about. You know, you talked about the beginning. Who would have thought, as you said yourself, who would have thought that at one point you'd be pretty much fighting for your life, you and your family, to get out of a country where there was a war going on, to where now you're a leader of women and men, or let's put it this way, a leader of people here in the United States with your freedom and, as you said, living the American dream, so to speak.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, I love that you use the word freedom because it's not just a physical thing. Freedom can be, or being in prison can be, you know, you could be living in a free country and be in prison in your own mind. A lot of people live in prison in their own minds and hearts and souls, and they don't dream. They're not free. And so one of the things that I learned is people need to be, you know, unleashed and unlocked, and you need to figure out what the thing is that can help them to soar and to feel bliss and to feel fearless. And so one of the things that, even just by being who you are, because people literally come to me all the time and say, you're so brave. How'd you do that? And I say, you know what? I was afraid the entire time. You know, so it's not about being, you know, brave. Bravery and being fearless means not just not having fear. It means moving forward in spite of your fear. And once you move through that path, you can shrug the fear off. And so a lot of my work is about getting people to not be controlled by their minds, just to kind of be open to realizing their spirituality and that we're powerful beyond measure. And to feel that, know that, and there's no such thing as losing, you know, or failure. You just have to, you only fail when you don't try. And it's little things like that, things that we've all heard before. But for me, people see, you know, things that made me, I would say that people might look at me and say, well, she's, you know, she came here as a refugee, as an immigrant, and, you know, I'm a single mom, and, you know, I mean, I'm still single at the moment. And people could say there are things that would have been, and I'm young and African-American, things that could have been things that would have helped me back, you know, financially or ethnically or just because I came here with one suitcase at 15 years old. But everything that could be seen as that could have helped me back was actually a catalyst for me. They pushed me forward. And so these are things people who are like me, have maybe had the same circumstances as me, have seen themselves as being stuck or, you know, being held back by something. But whenever you tell me I can't do something, you pretty much have ensured my success. And so, I, you know, to me, no means not now. It doesn't mean no. It means later. And so I just, you know, I love challenges. I love overcoming them. I love opportunities for growth. And that's how I see my life. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to be, whenever I leave this world, I'll be totally exhausted, but I'll be very satisfied and happy. And I will have no regrets.
Outstanding. Outstanding. So definitely a person that instead of leaving a trail, made a path for others to walk down. That's huge. Thank you again for coming on the show and for sharing with us. We look forward to the possibility of having you again. And also when we find out when you're going to do that next book, it sounds like there's another book coming.
There definitely is. You're a mind reader. But I'd love to be on again. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I look forward to doing it again.
All right. It was a pleasure having you, Mima. Again, ladies
Thank
and gentlemen,
you.
Today we had a woman who is truly on a mission and showing others how to live life by living she possibly can. This is Zurian of the Zurian Show saying thank you for listening. If the show was of value to you, which I know it was, please share it with other people so that they can hear what's going on, because we're trying to do positive things as we move forward. Again, we wish you every success, and remember, if you're not listening, then that means we're talking to ourselves. Take care, be well, and again, thank you for coming on, and thank you all for listening. This is Zurian of the Zurian Show saying take care, be well, and again, God bless.